two things about God's people. Pilgrims and elect. Finish there. The God's own people. Now, verse 2 again, he goes on to explain the procedure by which God made us his own. In other words, you can see the process of our redemption. The way God made us his own. Or the way God is accomplishing his purposes in our life. That's very interesting. Truths are there. Four things are there. Four steps are found there. What are those four things? First of all, God's foreknowledge. God's foreknowledge. Very hard to understand. What does it mean by God's foreknowledge? God knew in advance. That's okay. We understand. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God knew everything. But what Apostle Peter says, or the Bible says about God's foreknowledge in electing us, is not just knowing things. When we come to Ephesians chapter 1:4, I think a little more clear it is. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, he has chosen us. Not only he foreknew us, he not only God had a vague understanding about our existence, our faith in God, he had chosen us even before in his foreknowledge. He knew in advance. What are the things? You see one more thing in 1 Peter itself. 1 Peter 1:20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. God foreknew in his foreknowledge. He purposed it. He decreed it. He made a decision. In a particular time, Christ, his own son, will be sacrificed. And such person will be redeemed. Peter says, God in his foreknowledge planned it. He purposed it. Decided it. That is the first thing. The procedure in which, by which God made us his own. God foreknew. He saw us. He purposed it. Now, second thing. What is the second thing? Okay, any answer? In sanctification of the Spirit. What does it mean, sanctification of the Spirit? You know, sanctification means set apart. Sanctification of the Spirit. Spirit of God. See, God chose us, or God foreordained in eternity. In time, Spirit of God separating those people whom God purposed about. Spirit of God working out the plan of God, the purposes of God. The same thing we saw in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 too. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Same idea is found there. Yeah. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So that is a second step in which God making us his own people. Spirit of God separating. What does it mean? How can we understand that? Spirit of God sanctifying means what? I understand that Spirit of God sanctifying means when a person, even though he is not saved, he doesn't know anything about salvation, he doesn't know anything about gospel. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit leading him to Christ, leading him to the gospel, influencing him from outside, somehow making it possible that he may realize or he may understand the things of God, the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says that even Spirit of God leads him to repentance. Spirit of God grants him the faith. And it is the Spirit of God, God regenerates him. So in all this area we see how the Spirit of God works in his heart that he may be drawn to the Lord and he may be saved or he may become God's own, God's Spirit sanctifying. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God separates him from sin to God, from darkness to light, and from evil to God's path. The Bible says Spirit's work is not at all not finished also. We'll come to the third one again. Maybe I'll come back here. See the third step. What is the third step? For obedience. For obedience. That is the human aspect. God purposed in eternity and the Spirit of God is working out the purposes of God, and we see that there is a human responsibility. What is that? He has to obey. He has to obey the gospel. Obedience is there. I say it's very hard to understand. I'm sure many well-known Bible teachers disagree. What is the truth? God has chosen us or we have chosen salvation? God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Very hard to understand. Very hard to mix it together. Somebody says that it is like a parallel line. Two parallel lines. Never to meet in this side of eternity. The Bible says God has chosen us. We need to believe that. The Bible says at the same time that God, the Spirit of God works out that choice of God, that purpose of God. And there is a time I have to accept it. I have to obey. In other words, God's choice does not deny my responsibility. God has chosen me. At the same time, I cannot say, God did not choose me, so what can I do? I cannot say that. The Bible says, we have to obey. Whenever we read about the gospel, we read that obedience is necessary to be saved. We shall read maybe 2-3 verses. Romans 2:8. Romans 2:8. See, we read there, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. So indignation and wrath for them who are disobedient, who do not obey. Chapter 6 verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Again, we understand obedience led them to salvation. We cannot simply say that God has chosen me. God has chosen, of course, and God directs us to obedience, and that is our human responsibility. One more verse, John's Gospel 3:36. John's Gospel 3:36. We read, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life." I think in some other translation it is, "He who does not obey," some other translation, "he who does not obey the Son." So there, belief and obedience is similar. Gospel, one has to believe and one has to obey. If one is saved, that means he is obedient. If a person is not at all obedient, that we cannot say that he is saved. Apostle John says it very clearly in various portions of his epistle. He says repeatedly, "He who says that he knows God, does not keep his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So John says it in his epistle. A person, a Christian who has no interest to obey, he is a liar. Truth does not abide in him. So the process of our redemption, the process by which God made us his own, God's foreknowledge, Spirit's sanctifying work, and our faith, that is our part, our responsibility. Now one more thing is there, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now what does it mean, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ? I think we have no time to go there. In chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, we see, it seems Apostle Paul refers to that incident in Exodus 24. Maybe we shall read that, then it will be a little more clear. Exodus 24, verses 3 onwards we read, verse 6, "Moses took half the blood and put it in basins. Half the blood is sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, 'All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient.' And Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the blood and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words.'" So it seems Apostle Peter refers to this incident where Moses sealed the covenant with blood by sprinkling that blood on the people, on the people as well as on the altar. He sealed that covenant of God with people. And that sprinkled blood speaks of sealed covenant. We know that in Matthew's Gospel 26, the Lord says this is the blood of the new covenant. We read about new covenant in Jeremiah and as well as Hebrews 10. Then go into the new covenant. So what Apostle Peter writes is, the moment the person obeys the truth, the gospel, the effect or the benefits of the death of Christ, the effect of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross is applied to that person. So four steps are there. Four things are there. God has made us His own people, the elect. God the Father, He foreknew us. He ordained us. He has chosen us, elected us. In eternity, He purposed it. In eternity, He fixed it. His Son will be crucified. So and so will be redeemed. It was God's eternal plan. The Spirit of God in time worked it out. And God, the Spirit of God made it in such a way that person will be drawn to Christ to believe. And the effect of the death of Christ on the cross is applied on him. Here we can see that triune God is actively working. Now remember, what is the intention of God in choosing us? What is the intention of God? To be His own people? To bear the image of Jesus Christ? And we may be saved? I believe even today, three of these things are continuing. We belong to Him because we belong to Him. Because God has a purpose and plan about our life. God is doing these three things in our life. What are those three things? He planned eternally one thing. That is once for all plan, purpose of God. But the remaining three things, Spirit of God is continuously working. Spirit of God is continuously separating us, sanctifying us. That's why we see in Philippians 1:6, God who has begun a good work in you will continue it. And we need to continue to believe and obey. And we need to continue to be sprinkled means to enjoy or to benefit the effect of the blood of Christ. John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. These three things must continue. Three things. What are those three things? Okay, I'll conclude here. In conclusion, we have seen two things, mainly. Two things about the readers, about the recipients. Strangers and elect. Before that we saw a little bit about the purpose. That also is noteworthy. Peter says, grace. We stand in grace. We need to keep on standing in grace. Saving grace and sustaining grace. Okay. We are strangers in this world. Live like that. We are the elect of God. Be happy about it. Same time, be humble. God has elected us. Not because of any goodness. And God's purpose is He's working in us. Because He has elected us. Because He has chosen us. We belong to Him. We belong to Himself. We are His own people. Be happy about it. Be proud of it. And be humble. And we must remember that, and that process, what process of making up His own people. Four things, in eternity God purposed it. In time, Spirit of God worked it. Not once for all, it's continuing. The Spirit of God is continuously sanctifying us, influencing us, teaching us, guiding us. And what we need to do, obey. Obey. The more we obey, the more we become like Christ. The more we obey, the more we obey and benefit the efficacy of the blood of Christ, the atoning blood of Christ, we become more and more holy and pure. So may God help us that we may understand these truths. In the beginning itself, Peter wanted them to remember what God's grace has done for us. For them, we also need to be aware of it, and let us remember, let us realize that who we are and live accordingly, and we yield to the Spirit of God, be obedient, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be more and more holy and we may be more conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ.